Please, for the reading of the word this morning. What did that have to do with anything? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. 57th Psalm, please. 57th Psalm. Let me ask you a question. Look up here when you found 57th Psalm. Do you ever repeat yourself? Yeah? Yeah, we all repeat ourselves. And you, generally when we repeat ourselves, we're wanting to kind of get it across. Kind of wanting to emphasize it a little more. Look at this. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. A repetition by David. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. Lord, I ask you to add your blessing to the reading of the word. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight as I teach this people today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning we are beginning a new series. This series will be my last major teaching series as your pastor. This series will take us through the middle of March, after which time I will have in the month of April 5 what I call standalone messages, 5 goodbye messages. It'll be history. I must admit, I have given a ton of thought to what would be my final series to this congregation. This hasn't come just overnight. One of the things I'm going to do over the next 3 months is not in every message, but in some messages, I'm going to kind of salt and pepper some things that you need to know about the position of senior pastor of a church like this so that you will understand and be even more supportive of Keith and Lacey Grable as they assume this position the first Sunday in May. I came to this pastor at 31 years ago not having been a senior pastor. In Minnesota, I preached whenever called upon, but that's significantly different than having the assignment of teaching people staring you in the face every 7 days. The week really goes by fast. It's incredibly demanding. I'm very aware that your new pastor loves to preach and teach, and I am very confident that he will rise to the requirements of this pulpit and he will do an outstanding job. Style may be different. Content will be equal, if not better. Pastor Keith knows the word of the Lord. Pastor Keith loves the word of the Lord. Pastor Keith is going to preach the word of the Lord to you. I recently heard in the month of December about a group of churches. It doesn't make any difference who they are. I'll leave them unnamed. But there are a group of churches that has started in the United States in the last 5 to 10 years, and they are growing in size significantly. They're kind of smattered all over the country. They wouldn't call themselves a denomination, but that's exactly what they are. And this is what I was told. And they kind of all do the same thing, so they all preach the same messages. For the month of December, they had a title for all of their messages in December. It was Christmas at the Movies. Christmas at the Movies. And what they did every Sunday was they took an old classic Christmas movie and took a portion out of it, put it up on the screen, showed it, however long it was. And that was kind of their theme for that day. Not here at Christian Celebration Center. We don't have Sunday at the movies here. We have Sundays in the Word of God here. Amen. That was very weak, but I know you feel stronger about that than that clap. You don't have to do anything. In 1986, I came to Midland Assembly of God with a clean preaching slate that started with single messages and soon gravitated to series. Over many years of practice on you, I stuck with series. Usually a series would be about 6 to 8 messages in length. If you have that many in a year's time, you only really have about 4 or 5 series. Let me tell you about it. Getting started in a series, incredibly difficult. Incredibly difficult. Ask my wife. You just don't want to be around me when I'm starting a series. You want to know where God would have you go, and yet you don't necessarily know, but yet you feel prompted to go. That incredibly, incredibly difficult, and I might add scary. I always had this nightmare. This nightmare was I would announce a series, and after the second week, I'd have nothing to say about the subject matter. Nothing to say. Well, that never came up. Once in the groove in a series, to be honest with you, fun and easy. Finishing the series, terribly hard. It was like leaving an old friend behind, so to speak, but also very rewarding. I don't know what your new pastor's format will be. I ask you, be flexible with his format. I ask you, give him time to develop his format. I can promise you, it will be good. And remember, we're not allowed to say, Pastor Joel did it this way. For me, often the idea of a new series will come, and I will meditate on it for quite some time. The series we're starting today has been stirring in my spirit, man, for just short of 2 years. Very rarely have I started a series at the drop of a dime. You know, everybody's preaching on this, so I ought to preach on this. I really don't care what everybody else is doing. I want to hear from God for you. I want God's word for you. If it flows with it, everybody else is doing fine. If not, that's okay too. One of the greatest mistakes of young pastors is they want to jump on the bandwagon of what everybody else is doing. And I'm like, but is that what God has for you? Is that what God has for the people? And then it seems like the more I prayed about this series, it seemed the Lord was saying to me I should finish my 31 years as teaching pastor of Christian Celebration Center with a series titled The Fixed Heart. I think this series is destined by the Holy Spirit to be maybe a concluding statement of all my years in this pulpit. I would say to all of you, be prepared to have your life changed in the next 3 months. Because week after week, we are going to gain an understanding of how important our heart is and how we all have a responsibility to take care of our spiritual heart. I honestly believe this may be the most important series I've ever preached from this pulpit. At least I am approaching it that way. The Bible says much about the heart. In fact, over 800 references. Let me give you a comparison. I know we're faith people. We believe in faith. We walk by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know that faith is all over the pages of Scripture. Okay, let me give you a comparison. Do you know that for every one time that you find the word faith in the Bible, you find the word heart 10 times? 10 times to 1. So, What is the heart? This word is used so freely in today's vocabulary that I fear we have lost an appreciation for it. Here's an example. My wife and I, for whatever reason, we watch a fair amount of HGTV. I guess the main reason why is because there's nothing else good on TV to watch in this day and age. But we watch a lot of HGTV. And there's one part of that program that just really bugs the daylights out of me. And it's when there is a couple is going into their new home that's been renovated. You know, it was old and it's been renovated. And now, I'm not sexist and I'm not biased. Most often this happens by the lady, not by the man, but it could happen by the man. But anyway, they pull the thing back. There's their new house. And the first thing she says, I'll just say she because usually it's the lady, I love that that porch. I love that front door. And then they walk in the front door. I love the floor. And they walk in. I love the kitchen. I love the kitchen counter. I love the cupboards. I say to Nana, if she says love once more, I'm turning this thing off. I think we're guilty of that a lot in the church world. I love the praise and worship at Christian Celebration Center. I love the preaching. I love the youth program. I love this. I love... What does that really all mean? And how does that relate to your heart? Because the Bible repeatedly says many times over, you are to love not the preaching, not the worship, not the youth program. You are to love God. With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, with everything that is within you, you are supposed to love God. You've heard me many times. Bow your heads, close your eyes. No, not now. It's too soon. How many of you would like to ask Jesus into your heart? I grew up in a Pentecostal environment in the state of Minnesota, and we sang a chorus, just a little itty-bitty chorus. I haven't heard it for years. Only the old-timers here would know it. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it. Into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Did you know that scriptural? That is so laced with scripture. Let's talk about it. First of three truths. Man is a triune being. Support it from one scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. Sanctify you. Set you aside. Sanctify you in the sanctification process. May that happen through and through. How? May your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this verse, we find three parts of our existence. Now, I recognize you may have heard somebody else say this a little bit different. I'm just trying to say it to you to help you understand it. And I'm not picking a fight with somebody who says it some way a little different. In the end, I think it's all kind of the same. Your spirit is your God consciousness. Your faith, your hope, your love part of your life. Your soul is your self-consciousness, your intellect, your emotions, and your will. And your body is your world consciousness, your senses, your well-being, your appearance. look at it this way. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Say that with me, please. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. I'll say it again like you mean it. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Now get this. Both your spirit and your soul will continue to live after your body dies. You got to know that. You are living forever. You're not checking out sometime in the future. Here's what Jesus said. I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me never, ever dies. So the question is, where is the heart in all of this? This spirit, soul, and body. Where is the heart? Because the Bible says so much about the heart. It says so much more about the heart than it says about the soul. It says so much more about the heart than it says about the spirit. It says so much more about the heart than it says about the body. So where is the heart in all of this? Jesus answers this. What comes out of a man is what makes him. For from within, out of men's hearts. Look at it this way. The heart is the center of both your soul and your spirit. In Hebrew, it's the word leb, it means the center of. In Greek, it's the word cardia, it means the middle of. Don't confuse your bodily heart with your spiritual heart. And also, don't make your spirit and soul synonymous, because they aren't. I can prove that with one scripture. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God divides the soul and the spirit. If they were the same, that couldn't happen. No, the word of God comes along and divides the soul and the spirit. And as I read this morning, real early this morning at the kitchen counter, I thought I might develop a message in this entire series about the last part of that verse. The word of God judges the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart. So, the second truth, this is a truth that you've got to receive today. This whole message is just kind of introductory to where we're going. But you got to grab a hold of this one. The heart is the production room of both the soul and the spirit. Let me illustrate. I have an office here at the church. This is a picture of my office. Desk is neat and clean. That's where I take phone calls. That's where I dictate letters. That's where I shuffle papers and make everybody think that I'm busy when I'm really not. And that's where I sit and counsel Pastor Leon. He needs about 5 hours of counseling a week, and we do it right there in that office. And all of that kind of takes place there. That's my office. This is my study. It's messy. It's upside down. It's inside out. There's stuff all over the place. My study is the production room of my office. Your heart is the production room of your soul and your spirit. It's like what a computer programmer is to a computer. As I understand it, a computer programmer creates the stuff that the computer will do. So he makes up the recipe for how the computer functions. Did you know that deep inside of my laptop here is a hard drive? The hard drive is about this big by this big. In fact, in this computer, it might even be smaller. I don't know how big it is. I've seen one hard drive once from a regular office computer, a desk computer, not from this. Deep inside this plastic shell is something about this big that has this thing do everything it's supposed to do. Deep inside of you is your spiritual heart. And if you can get to that, and you can have God touch that, your life can be forever changed. Forever changed. Look at three references about the heart. The first one. Above all else, guard your heart. Why? Because it is the wellspring of life. Guard. It means to guard, protect, or watch, because it is the wellspring, the source, or the origin. Look at these two translations. The Message: keep vigilant watch over your heart. Why? Because that's where life starts. The New Living Translation: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the source of your life. Solomon says in Proverbs, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." The word "thinks" there really means as is split open. As your heart is split open, you'll find out who you really are and what you're really all about. And Jesus comes along and he says, a good person produces good things from the treasury, thesaurus, a place of deposit of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury, the place of deposit of an evil heart. You look at these two. Solomon is saying, you need to guard and protect and watch your heart, because it's the source and the origin of everything in your life. Solomon says, for as your heart is split open, that's who you are. And Jesus comes along and says, you have a place of deposit. It can either be evil or it can be good, but it's a depository. It's your heart. I think a perfect place to start is our text for today. David said, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. Let me give you the setting. Starting in the 52nd Psalm, we are reading a very desperate period in David's life where he was forced to flee into the wilderness from King Saul, who wanted to kill him. The story behind the 57th Psalm is found in 1 Samuel 22. If you want to write that down, 1 Samuel 22, and this afternoon read it. We're told that David leaves Gath, and he escapes, and he hides in a cave. Here's what it says in the introduction of the Psalm. When he fled from Saul into the cave. Okay, do you get the picture? He's got his tail between his legs. He's running for his life. Saul is after him to take out his life. He runs into and hides in a cave, and he writes this. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows and whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. And then he says, but my heart is steadfast, O God. I want to say it again. My heart is steadfast. The word means to be erected, to be held up, to be propped, so that you maintain form, shape, and direction. The King James Version says, I have a fixed heart. It's the idea of my heart is directed and my heart is ordered. That is great news, my friends. So I give you a third and final truth today as we begin this series. God can fix hearts and turn them to go in the right direction. Hallelujah. 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 Now, going back to the computer illustration, I want you to know your heart can be programmed to start producing right desires and right feelings and right thoughts and right choices. The question is, well, who's going to do this, Pastor? I guess that's something God has to do. No, no, no. 1,000 times no. See, we always have this idea. Well, if God wants to do something in my life, then he just should show up and do it. Don't you think if God wants to produce something in your life, you've got to kind of cooperate? Because I got news for you. He's not going to go against your will. He's not going to go against your desires. He's not even going to go against what's in your heart. But you put your faith and trust in God, your heart can be fixed and it can be turned in a new direction. Well, how does that happen, Pastor? We close with this verse. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. You see, my friends, God can and will do this for us, but not without your cooperation. So over the next 3 months, I pray we're going to do this. I pray we're all going to do this. We're going to apply our hearts to instruction and our ears to the words of knowledge. Now, don't hold me to this, but I want to give you something to look forward to. This is what God has deposited in my life to give to you. Before I step aside, I want to talk to you about getting a new heart next Sunday. Every one of you can have a new heart. In fact, God specializes in giving people new hearts. I want to talk to you about having a purified heart. I want to talk to you about having a guarded heart. I can tell you right now, the fourth one up there is going to probably be one of the most in-your-face messages you've ever heard in your life. I love you enough to get in your face. I want to talk to you about developing a hard heart, because there isn't a person in this singing group right here. There isn't a person that sits on this main floor or on the balcony who cannot develop a hard heart. And in fact, a hard heart is incredibly easy to develop sitting right there in a church pew. And I'll prove it to you on that Sunday. I'll show you exactly on that Sunday what are the ingredients that brings about a heart where I was once hungry for God. I was once after God. I once wanted God. I once loved God. And now I really don't care that much about God. And I really don't care about his word says. I really don't care. It's just, it's old hat. I really don't care any longer. That Sunday, it will give you the key as to how you can turn that hard heart back into a soft heart. The word of the Lord shows us how to do that. The joyful heart, from here on, it's a little sketchy. The second to last one is just because I read a verse and I saw it and it jumped out at me. I don't know if I can develop something on it or not, but all of our hearts have secrets. All of our hearts have secrets. And we think we can keep that secret from God. You can't. Because God looks on the outward appearance. Excuse me. Man looks on the outward appearance. You look so nice today, Leon. You look so nice today. But God looks at the heart. Every one of us. We look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. We'll finish the series. Oh, I'm so excited about this one. You can have a perfect heart. Say, oh, Pastor, you don't know me. I can't. If you can't have a perfect heart, the Word of God is a lying book, and you can't put your trust in it, because the Word of God talks about you and I having a perfect heart. Now you can see why I'm so excited. I really kind of think that this series might be the crowning effect on my 31 years of teaching this congregation, giving us all an opportunity to have victory in our heart. Would you stand, please? If you're here today, and you'd say, Pastor Joel, I will apply my heart to instruction over the next 3 months. I'm going to tune my ears to hear words of knowledge concerning my heart. I'm going to ask you from the balcony on the main floor to step out and come to this altar right now as we sing. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to once more, and we'll all be together. Sing it once more. Into my heart. Into my I love the way this congregation responds, because you just don't come here to stand and stare at me for the last 2 minutes of the service and say, we're out the door, quick, pronounce the benediction. So many of you were really meaning this. So once more, and then I'll pronounce the benediction, we're done. Do whatever you want to do. Close your eyes, raise your hands, do a backflip, do whatever you want to do to let the Lord know that you want Him in the next 3 months to come into your heart, that you will tune your ears to knowledge, and you will tune your heart to what the word of the Lord would say. Just communicate that to the Lord as you sing this again, okay?
Oh, into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Lord, you see this scene and you see the people that are very desirous to say, God, I will apply my heart to instruction and my ears to words. And I pray, Lord, over the next 3 months, I don't care from the most spiritual person to the most unspiritual person, we would all get new hearts in the name of Jesus. For your glory, Lord, we pray this. Pray the Lord would bless you and keep you, and the Lord would make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And God would grant all of you in the next 3 months a new heart. Amen. God bless you. Have a good day.